Hey, buddy, welcome to Matt Men, your source for all things professional wrestling. I'm Andrew Zarin. I'm joined by the birthday kid, Rich Stambolian. The birthday kid. Blow Happy
out,
birthday.
Blow out the candles, baby.
a beautiful 56.
Thank you, man. I know.
You're looking great.
I look amazing for 56.
You look beautiful for 56. Not a day over 54.
Thank you. Thank you for the birthday.
Happy birthday. Rich is not 56 for all you literal Joes out there.
There are a lot of literal Joes out there.
Yeah. By the way, that joke that I just took from Reddit.
Because
everything else that we do is from Reddit, apparently.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Dude, that guy had a meltdown.
I guess. I don't know, man. I don't know what all that was about.
Listen, you know what? Treehouse Vince, go to his house, take the shirt, and burn it. He does not deserve a Matt Men shirt, that viewer.
Pal.
And he deleted us from everything.
Good. Who cares?
I made the big mistake of engaging, right?
Yeah, you
because
always do.
My problem is I try to engage with crazy. Mm-hmm. When someone starts screaming that, for people who don't know, we had a viewer, probably a regular, go nuts on me because I had said Brock Lesnar's going to have an awesome entrance.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, I said, I heard Brock Lesnar's going to have an awesome entrance. And he's saying that I tweeted this.
Mm-hmm.
And I could have tweeted it. And he did have an awesome entrance. He came out to Enter Sandman by Metallica.
It's pretty cool.
Okay. Who does not think that's awesome?
Right. That guy.
That guy apparently hates Metallica. And he's like, no, all you do is regurgitate Reddit. And where does Reddit get it? Like, where do you think Reddit gets it? Reddit's not
from you.
Reddit gets it from me.
You're Mr. No. Reddit.
And then I had another guy, and he's like, well, you post stuff from Reddit, which I do, which everybody does. And he's like, you don't say that it's from Reddit. But Reddit is not the source for this.
Right. It's the hub.
It's a hub. It's a news site.
It's a forum.
If there's information to be posted, and if it's Meltzer, I say, like, oh, you know, Meltzer was talking about this. I'm not gonna credit every post that I do saying Reddit user 99555 posted a PW Insider link.
Yeah.
And I'm not the freaking New York Times.
Well, it's also like by...
I'm some guy that does some dick jokes on the internet and talks about sweaty men.
But by you saying something like a blanket statement of, hey, yo, I heard Brock Lesnar is going to have an awesome entrance at UFC 200, right? That is not a... You could have literally just made that up and that's it, you know? Or like, what? I don't think that needs to be credited. If you were like, hey, Brock Lesnar is coming out to Enter Sandman... And you got that ahead of time from Reddit. Sure, post that, you know. But anyway, don't engage people.
Oh, you know what? I make the big mistake. I make because I try to be like, hey, man, I don't know what you're talking about. Please explain. Because I want to blame myself, right? Like, I want to be like, oh, you know what, dude? You're right. That's like my nature. I'll always say you're right. If I'm wrong, you're right.
Right.
And he's like, you deleted the tweet. I can't find it. It wasn't even a tweet. It was in our Facebook group.
Yeah.
And all I wrote was, Brock Lesnar is going to – I heard Brock Lesnar has an awesome entrance.
I know. I was there.
And it was actually, I did actually tweet something. It was a retweet of a journalist that said, Brock Lesnar's, I was there for the Brock Lesnar, I guess the
thing,
I guess like the pre-show thing. They were testing out the sound and stuff. And he's like, oh, it's great.
Yeah.
So I wrote, oh, I heard Brock Lesnar's going to have an awesome entrance. People read into too much stuff.
It's true. They should have had him come through the Suplex City set. With like the burning car and the elevator,
I think they should have done
the fences
that. Yeah.
And all that.
Now
stuff.
there was something that was said a while ago. Brock Lesnar, by the way, won his fight against Mark Hunt.
Yeah,
people were shocked. People thought this was not going to happen.
Yeah, he looked awesome.
Brock did look great.
Yeah, he looked awesome,
bigger than ever.
He looked awesome in the ring too. Like
I mean,
in the octagon,
he looked. I mean, just amazing. he was all right. You know, he fought Mark Hunt, which is a brutal, brutal hitter. But Mark, I knew Mark was going to lose. At that weigh-in, when he was like, oh, I have no idea how that guy is 265.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was shook, as they would say in Queens.
Yes.
He was shook.
But yeah, he like, Mark Hunt's, like, an awesome fighter, you know, to begin with. But I think he was just like, oh, boy.
Yeah. Yeah. So that happened on Sunday, which was awesome. And then this guy had a meltdown on Monday during Raw. And he kept having to tell me that, dude, I own a shirt. I love you guys. I own the shirt. I love you guys.
Whatever, man. Who cares?
Such a dick.
Who cares?
People are idiots.
Who cares?
Should be shamed.
Some people like
stop to get, reading everything as literal facts.
Some people like to get drunk and go on Twitter and bash.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's what he said. He goes, maybe you were drunk when you posted it.
Yeah, man. Maybe you were drunk. Hey, you know what?
Maybe you were drunk because you don't even know the difference between Facebook and Twitter, dumb.
Maybe you should look in the mirror and see. see who's staring back. Guys, at you,
stop
Andrew.
Being a Marky Mark. Stop being a Marky Mark. Stop being like people need to stop being so ugh about wrestling. Just enjoy it.
Yeah, but that's the thing.
Just have fun.
People like being
there's
ugh.
So much good stuff.
People like being about wrestling. If you go on any if you go on any forum, it's just like, it's a litany of really dumb comments. It's like it's the most. I think wrestling and UFC are the most armchair quarterbacked forms of entertainment on earth at this point. You know,
yeah.
Where you know, like anybody could say, like, oh, they should have done this, they should have done that. You know, whatever, man.
Yeah.
But you know, we do that too. Except we do it live every Thursday.
Yeah, we do it live. Listen, but you know what? We do it live, and we you know this is our job, so this is what we do. You think if I didn't do this for a living, I'd be sitting on Twitter and
yes.
I would be. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
You love wrestling. Man.
I do love wrestling.
I think
you're
you would
right.
be on Twitter talking about wrestling.
So let's talk about wrestling, guys. So much happened this week.
Talk about wrestling.
I have notes here. I have like two pages of notes to talk about here. So many things to talk about. But
Kissy. This is great.
Yeah,
I'm not taking my pants off.
show your dick? No.
No.
Okay.
Oh yeah, this is good. I had notes in my head. Yeah. All right, you want to start with this?
Yeah, let's start off
with
that.
You want to
start with this?
Yeah, well, pretty
good. S-U-X.
In big letters in the middle of his notes, it says Ho-Ho-Lun sucks with an X.
Yeah, here it is if you guys want to see it. It says Ho-Ho-Lun sucks.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we'll start off with Raw. Raw was way better than the week prior. Not surprised about that.
Listen, I didn't mind the July 4th Raw. I wasn't here that week for the show.
I did not like it.
It was very entertaining. The Zack Ryder winning the Battle Royal was kind of cool. You know, it was fun. It was a fun throwaway Raw.
You know what? I got bored quick. That was the problem.
How do you feel about beat up John Cena?
I think it's funny. Yeah.
It is funny.
Yeah.
All right. So Raw was really good on Monday. I thought it was excellent. Dean Ambrose also cut probably the best promo of his career.
Dude, that was the promo of the year.
Yeah.
Ambrose and Rollins have really stepped it up since.
Yeah.
Roman Reigns has been absent.
Sad Roman.
he's really, they both stepped it up. And I think it's kind of like the show, like, listen, guys, you don't need Roman Reigns. Like, I think they are taking the side of we got this.
Right.
We got this.
We're the dudes. Do you think the reference that Ambrose made in his promo was to Brock Lesnar or to CM Punk?
I thought it was to Brock Lesnar.
Okay.
A lot of it. So I posted that, and people are like, no, it was more to CM Punk.
Yeah,
I get it. Like listening to it in hindsight,
right.
You know, like because he said like people leave to go chase their dreams as MMA fighters or whatever, whatever the wording was. But I thought it was more for Brock Lesnar because Dean Ambrose fought him at WrestleMania,
right? Yeah,
and that might have been a tease to kind of do some sort of feud with them again.
Yeah.
He's got the goods.
I think they're going to, I honestly think they're going to keep the belt on Ambrose for a while. Cause like,
you think so?
If you look at the.
Oh, I think he's going to drop it.
If you look at the build to where he is now, he's done nothing but face main eventers for the past year. Building him up, I think, to groom him for that main event guy spot. Like his matches with Triple H on the house shows, his match with Triple H at Roadblock. That Brock Lesnar match at Mania, his feud with Jericho, you know, like he's been in the ring with like world champions. And I think they groomed him to say like, you know what, we kind of want you in the spot. Like you're a very good, like you're an all around guy, you know, like you're the best all around guy. Like you and Ron, like him and Rollins are the best all around guys they got.
They do.
Know?
Yeah. And that promo was remarkable. I do find it really interesting that they are bringing up Roman suspension.
Yeah. Constantly.
Like, constantly. And, you know, people, and a lot of people are like, well, no, it's a work.
Mention it again.
But I don't think it's a work. I don't think the WWE has a choice.
Right.
Rather than to acknowledge it, and the way that you kind of deflate all that, you know, heat on Roman is by kind of acknowledging it, and the heels saying you're a loser, you're a cheat, whatever he was saying, you kind of have to take the story out a little bit and do something else with it rather than just totally ignoring it in 2016.
Do you think they're going to go drunk animal with him?
Just falling or off the... no.
Or,
no. I think he's going to come out and be like, I'm sorry to my fans, but I'm going to do it for you again. I hope you could be behind me. And then he's going to mope out.
Do you think he's going to get a resuspend him chant? Which I think would be hysterical.
I think he's going to get a steroid chant.
Oh,
I think he's going to get a cheater chant.
Uh-huh. Do you think they're going to do an angle where he's in the ring with Rollins and Ambrose, and then an orange pill bottle falls out of Roman's vest?
That'd be great.
And then Ambrose picks it up, and he's like, "What are you doing with this, man?"
I don't know, man. I have no idea what they're going
to
do.
That would be hysterical. Like, that would be, like, if they took it to that level of, like, he's just constantly getting busted for, like, illegal stuff.
So, the main event for the MSG show, which is this week or next week, right? It's Rollins, Ambrose, Owens. That's the main event for the MSG show.
This Saturday.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I lost my mind right there.
I was like,
yeah, that's why. So I'm going to Evolve on Saturday.
Right, yeah.
If anybody's going to Evolve, come say hello. I'll be wearing the Mattman shirt.
Hello. And
so we had, thank you to Ayaz for the tickets, by the way. Ayaz Akhtar, everybody. Follow him, at Ayaz. So he got the front row, and they moved us.
Really?
And they sent the thing saying that they had to move people due to a fire hazard. So they moved us to the VIP elevated section.
Is that their code?
Do you know which one I'm talking about?
Yes.
Like, right across. So I'll be on the shot the entire show.
Is it at LaBoom's?
It's at LaBoom's, yeah. Would you like to know your birthday gift? Got you a birthday gift.
No, I don't. Ooh. I don't want to know.
You don't want to know?
I want to be surprised.
You want to be surprised?
Yeah.
Well, it is your birthday.
Okay.
I should tell you.
Sure, what is it?
We are going to Evolve on August 20th.
Really?
Yes.
Very nice, thank you.
In the city.
Appreciate it.
In Brooklyn.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Cool.
Me, you, Trina,
nice,
Deacon, and Josh Colm.
Where is Deacon, by the way?
I don't know where he is.
Yeah, that's gonna be an Uber night.
That is gonna be an Uber night. Yeah, that's an Uber night. So we're gonna Evolve on August 20th.
Cool.
It should be fun. By the way, if anybody's going to Evolve on Saturday, this Saturday, come say hello. I'll be there. My wife will be there too. Gus is coming.
But don't say hi to her.
Don't say hi to her.
Just say hi to Andrew.
Yeah, just say hi to me. I thought it was a very good role.
Yeah.
It kind of fell apart towards the end, you know? Like, it got a little slow. What do you think of the whole brand split now? Shane is getting SmackDown. Steph is getting Raw. They're commissioners, and they still need to name GMs.
Okay. I really like the way this is playing out, and it really seems like they're legit trying to make SmackDown like another A show as opposed to the B show. Shane on SmackDown is a draw. I think he's going to name Daniel Bryan as the GM. And I think Steph is going to name Bischoff.
There's so much. Bischoff makes so much sense.
Yeah.
Other than Dave, you know where all that Bischoff rumor came from? Dave.
Yeah.
Meltzer said, you know, it makes so much sense for Bischoff to come because he's really someone that makes sense as a GM, and he's one of the few that wasn't on TV. Mm-hmm. But McFoley was never a GM. He was a commissioner. I forgot. They already spoiled it on WWE.com on Monday, saying that Daniel Bryan is the GM of SmackDown.
Great.
Daniel Bryan looks small.
Yeah.
Did you see him? Yeah. He lost a lot of weight. Like, he's good way under 200 pounds.
Yeah. Good for him, man. He doesn't have to have that body anymore.
Yeah,
he's doing Olympic stuff. He's doing like Olympic style.
Olympic weightlifting. Yeah, I would imagine he's like 165, 170.
No
he's like,
way.
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
No.
He's really, really small now.
How much do you weigh?
162.
He's not. He's a little bigger than you.
175.
He's gotta be.
175.
And I'll say 210.
No, he's way under 200 pounds. Way under. He's a vegan again, apparently.
All right.
Yeah,
that's cool.
So, Daniel Bryan, commissioner, GM of SmackDown. Mm-hmm. SmackDown is getting a whole new look, apparently. Mm-hmm. I have no idea what that entails.
Fist is coming back.
Everybody wants that fist.
It's going to be this.
Hold on. What is it going to be?
It's going to be this thing.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's going to have the fist and then just a finger going
just
into it.
Just a finger going into it. But it's not in. It's just pointing at it. Yeah. Yeah. I would love that, actually. No, everybody wants that fist back, which is funny. I didn't even consider it. No, that was a great set.
This is awesome. Go ahead. All right. Vince showing up was funny. But it's also weird that was the main event.
That was the main event. Well, the main event actually was Sasha Banks
Dana Brooke.
Yeah,
technically.
Yeah.
But that was like the last segment. It was just kind of interesting, you know.
Yeah.
That's the one thing I don't like. I don't like it when they don't put that emphasis on the championship. You know that. The belt should close the show, especially if they're building up to like this big thing, you know.
Yeah.
I also think that the world title is coming back, or some iteration of it.
I don't know what they're going to do with that. So I'm still a little...
Sorry.
Okay. You can cough all you want, baby. Dying. I love it. I don't know what the end goal is with that. And I don't even think they really have a vision as far as how they're going to split this title.
Mm-hmm.
I would love the big gold belt back.
I don't think it's going to be the big gold belt.
I really hope it is not like another version of the WWE title, but blue.
Spinner belt?
Spinner belt. Spinner no belt? Way. No way.
Eagle?
I would love that.
Or just like, I think you might be right, though. I think they might have just like a red or blue version of
Well, they have a red version, right? That's the women's version.
No, it's white.
Women's it's white with white. A red backing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they'll have like a red belt. The belt itself will be red or something like that. I don't think they're going to bring the big gold belt back.
Or like a blue strap.
You know.
I mean, the big gold belt is awesome, and there's a lot of merch they could sell with that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you got to think about the merchandising they could sell. That big old belt, they're going to be selling forever. Replica
the
version.
World title, yeah.
The real world champion. Right. They're going to be selling that forever. So I do think they want to introduce another title.
Yeah.
I don't think they've been developing a belt. I think that they're just going to, if they don't bring the big old belt, I really just think it's going to be a blue version of the main title.
I think you need a different belt.
I do. Listen, totally agree with you.
Yeah.
I do think the big gold belt should be brought back. Mm-hmm. There should be some sort of ceremony around the big gold belt. But remember, it's the same exact angle as 2002.
Right.
Brand split. Here's the big gold belt.
Yeah.
I don't know if...
I would prefer it if the champ was on both shows.
I would too.
You know?
Yeah, you're a traveling champion. You do both shows.
Yeah.
You do both house shows. That's your thing. You're the champion. Mm-hmm. But I think it has to do with they don't want to overextend the world champion.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know what it's going to say.
Because
they have to change the belt Ambrose has anyway, because it says world heavyweight champion, but he's the WWE champion.
Right. Yeah. I think you're going to get Ambrose retaining, and then Seth gets the secondary belt.
Seth gets the second title. Unless Ambrose is the world heavyweight champion and whoever gets the next belt is the WWE champion.
Right.
They could also do that.
It's so weird.
It's so stupid.
It is. But I'm kind of excited about the draft. They have a very full roster right now. And this is with a lot of potential, you know. And you know, there's always crossover potential too, but people are deathly afraid that their favorite teams are going to get split up. I think live SmackDown is amazing.
If it was, very
if
good
it was
idea.
Taped, I don't think this would be a great idea.
No.
But because it's live now, I think this is a fantastic idea. You're getting two high quality wrestling shows now with different rosters.
And by the way, it's 2 hours.
Right.
Yeah.
With different rosters. Right. Yeah. So my one thing is, like, I hope they don't split up the teams that are like really hot, because they've had that in the past where they would split, like, you know, like, I don't want to see New Day split just yet. I don't want to see the club split just yet.
No, I doubt.
You know?
I do think we are going to get splits. I don't think it's going to be maybe the New Day. You know, because there's been rumblings that New Day is getting stale, which.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I think what they'll. Well, they're in the feud with the Wyatt, so they're probably going to continue that.
Yeah.
They're probably going to split. They're probably going to split the Social Outcasts.
Yes.
Right? They'll be split.
Split the
you
Usos.
You cannot split. Maybe you'll split the Usos.
Yeah. I honestly think they're going to go into this and not split tag teams. I think they're going
to. I hope they
they're don't. They're going to do.
But they hinted at that. They hinted at that on Raw, that it could happen.
I would prefer it if they were like, you know, like, what's your next pick? Lucha Dragons. What's your next pick? I want the Dudleys, you know?
Yeah.
I want the Ascension.
Nobody wants these.
You know, which is sad, man. The Ascension's pretty much like suit. I saw a promo for Superstars last night on the network.
Yeah,
and it's like the Island of Misfit Toys. It's like everybody on suit. It's Zack Ryder, Jack Swagger, Ascension, R-Truth, and the Social Outcast. Like that's Superstars, right? And I'm like, yo, that's like these dudes are just like bodies at this point, you know, which kind of sucks. Except for some reason, except Heath Slater, because I still have a lot of faith that dude's gonna end up like doing something awesome at some point.
I don't know. I'm very, very curious of what happens on Tuesday. I will not be here next week. I'm in Jamaica. I'm traveling.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah, boy. maybe we could do something over Skype when sure. I'm in Jamaica yeah. to kind of talk about the maybe like Wednesday morning.
Yeah, man.
You want to do that?
Yeah.
Can we do something quick? Okay,
that
cool.
Work. What's next on your notes list?
So let's talk about NXT.
Yes.
Nakamura Balor.
Great.
Very good match.
Very
the
good.
Entire show was very just good. Nakamura Balor.
I was a big fan of the too sweet to Nakamura's forehead.
I did see that.
It was excellent. Yeah. It was good, man. It was a really good match. My personal thoughts is that that's the last time Balor's going to be in front of that crowd.
Yeah,
if you watched his intro, it looked like he got emotional coming down the ramp.
And he wasn't Demon Balor. Yep. He came out as, you know, cool leather jacket Balor.
He came out as a real rock and roller.
Real rock and roller.
I think he got a little emotional. You could see him well up a little bit because the crowd was so into him. And that's, you know, like, yeah. he's been there for 2 years. So, like, he put his roots down in NXT. Yeah. And I think that's going to be, tying into the draft, you need a big debut for this dude. But I feel like, I hope Balor debuts on Monday with a huge debut. And then Tuesday, he gets, like, you know, picked to go somewhere.
Okay, so here's the thing. Does he come in as a face or a heel?
I don't know, man. That's a good question. Does he come in even with the club, or does he just, like, show up and, you know?
Because if this was a couple of weeks ago, I would have said absolutely he has to come in with the club. But what I see them doing with him is he's going to have a huge babyface debut.
Mm-hmm.
He'll have a huge babyface debut.
Uh-huh.
He will go to the club and be like, hey, guys, what are you doing? Like, why are you guys being such assholes?
Yeah.
You know, blah, blah, blah. And they're going to be like, hey, man, what happened to you? You were this and you were that. It's going to be a big swerve. And he's going to attack AJ Styles, and that's going to be the SummerSlam match. AJ Styles and Balor.
See, I'll disagree with that.
Okay.
Okay. You're on the in my head, you're in the right track. But I think this is pure
fantasy booking.
Pure
yeah.
fantasy booking. But I feel like what would make a lot of sense is him to debut helping John Cena, playing into the history of being kicked out of the club by AJ Styles in New Japan.
Yeah, right? I think that's a great, yeah.
But at the end of the day, Balor turns on John Cena and joins AJ, Anderson, and Gallows. And then they have like an actual four-man Bullet Club kind of thing. And remember, he's got shirts that say Balor Club on it.
He does.
So he could still turn on AJ.
And you know what's fascinating? There is no club merch on WWE.com.
Yeah.
You don't find that interesting? You don't find that strange that there's not even one freaking t-shirt considering... The Bullet Club was one of the top selling t-shirts in all of professional wrestling.
Yeah.
Like, this is as big as the NWO or Austin 316. The WWE will capitalize on making money off of merch.
Slow burn.
There is a reason why they haven't made any merchandise.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. I have heard no rumblings as far as when the merch is coming out.
Mm-hmm.
It's bizarre to me that we haven't even... I guess now we have a logo with the gas masks.
Yeah, which is cool. I
but
like that.
That's not even theirs. That's Gallows.
Mm-hmm.
That's a Gallows logo. The whole Biz Cliz thing, all that stuff. It did say Bullet Club on their on Anderson's knee pads.
It said BC.
BC. So I found that really interesting that they were doing that. Listen, maybe they're negotiating for the Bullet Club name. Who knows?
I doubt that.
Listen, I don't know. Nobody knows.
Mm-hmm.
All I know is the WWE will capitalize on merch as soon... Like Austin Aries.
Yeah.
He debuted merch. He wasn't even on the main roster.
Yep.
He wasn't even signed to a contract. Joe. Samoa Joe didn't even have a contract. A full contract had merch.
Anything... I just went on WWEshop.com. If you type in the club, it's all just Finn Balor merchandise.
Isn't that funny?
It's great. Ooh, there's a 40% off clearance sale. I actually, I treated myself to a birthday present yesterday.
What'd you get?
I ordered a certified G mug.
Excellent.
And I got an Enzo and Cass, like, retro t-shirt, which was actually a good shirt. It's like, it was like baby blue, and it had like the kind of like,
yeah,
you know, like our knockoff shirts.
yeah, like our knockoff. Like the ones that we saw from Taz, mm-hmm. Yeah. I thought it was a very good match by Nakamura Balor. I wouldn't say it's the best match I've seen both of them have, but...
It was great. I think they played it very safe. It was fun. It was good. The crowd was super into it. The false finishes were great. Balor didn't even get off the coup de grace. And I think that's why they're keeping... They made Balor look strong in the way that, like, I think that's going to be, like, a definitive finisher for him on the main roster, you know?
The coup de grace?
Maybe I'm reading into it too much.
I would love the Sunday Bloody Sunday as his finisher, to be honest.
1916?
What? Yeah.
They can't say bloody.
Is that what they call it, 1916? Oh, that's the one, because they ripped off Taz. They're hacks.
Because that massacre happened in 1916, so that's why he calls it 1916.
Yeah. I don't know. Good match, good NXT, really enjoyed it. And then after that was a Cruiserweight Classic.
Yeah, man. It was a lot of fun.
Not a great show. I mean, I wouldn't say it was a great show. I thought it was a fun show, quick, easy to watch.
Commentary was the best.
Commentary was phenomenal.
Grammatalic, awesome.
Grammatalic,
Mascara Dorado,
yeah.
Grammatalic, that was a great match. I don't know what they're going to do with a guy like Saez. Is he going to go back to, like, Chile? Or are they going to... Because you can tell...
He's a big dude.
You can tell who they're going to sign.
Yeah, it's really obvious. Like, first of all, Cedric Alexander. Holy crap, this guy is good.
Yeah.
And he dropped, like, 20-something pounds to enter, and he dropped, like, I think 205, right? 205, he's, like, 200 pounds. The guy looked great.
Yeah. He's polished.
You know what? He was good in ROH. Really good.
Totally.
But there is something about the WWE that they could take someone like him, right? Mid-carder in ROH, not world champion material, and they could really do, like, the WWE really knows how to emphasize on guys that they really see as, wow.
They can mold.
They really can.
Yeah.
He put on a great match.
Yes. I agree with that. I also think it's odd because coming right out of Ring of Honor, that they did not give Cedric Alexander any screen time before this, like leading up to it, which is kind of interesting. They didn't go into like, oh, and Cedric Alexander from blah, blah, blah. And he got a great pop when he came out, man.
He did get a great pop, first of all, they put the U.S. fight. That crowd sucked, first of all.
You think so?
Yeah, because, you know, that was the day of the first tapings, and they had a lot of problems. They had a shit ton of problems where people couldn't get in. There was only like 200 people there.
Yeah.
They were freaking out. They delayed the show a bunch. I don't know how many people were there at like the time of the matches, but I know that it was dead and that crowd sucked from everything that was said. And they really did not pop that crowd.
Yeah.
It was a really quiet crowd. It was bizarre. It was a really strange crowd. I like Grammatalic. I could see him signing. I see...
Clement.
Clement, yeah. Landstorm's guy. I see him.
He gets signed, dude, immediately. He's got like a good, like... he's like... I feel like he's the package they're looking for. Daivari, I think, gets signed to like some kind of developmental contract. Sean Maluda probably gets signed to like some kind of developmental contract. And it was also awesome how Mauro and Daniel Bryan didn't acknowledge the botch, but they did. They did their best to make it a positive, because that was an awful looking.
It was terrible.
Botch. Yeah.
He's a Uso, right? He's part of the family.
He's part of the family.
Yeah.
I think his uncle is Afa.
You know, he did put on a good match. I have to give him credit. Ibushi is remarkable.
He's a man.
Dude, this guy is so good. So good. And nobody knew who he was.
Yeah.
That crowd had no idea.
No, they knew, man.
Do you think so?
I think so.
I don't know.
The crowd was going crazy. Did you watch it with sound?
It was late. It was late, though. Yeah, it was late.
I was watching. I had it cranked up, man, like all the way. And like the crowd was really into Ibushi. I love Ibushi. I think
Ibushi is signed at this point.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
Here, I think he actually was. I think the report was that he beat Blake or Murphy at the last round of NXT tapings. So, like, he has an NXT debut.
Oh, so he has an NXT debut.
Yeah.
Okay.
I also think, like, which is kind of funny, where as Daniel Bryan was saying that Ibushi kicks really hard, and the opening salvo of the match between him and Maluda was he kicked him right in the thigh, and he saw the look on Sean Maluda's face where he was like, oh, it is real.
I thought they did a good job at selling Maluda with that super kick.
Yeah, yeah. It was good, man. It was a lot of fun. Can we talk about Ho-Ho Lun now? Because you hate him so much.
Okay, let's talk about him. He is the shits. He's terrible, and I don't stop sympathizing him. If you are a fan of MK whatever Kingdom Wrestling, whatever the hell his indie fed in China is called, I think it's really interesting how the WWE is putting it over that he has a wrestling federation.
Yeah,
Middle Kingdom Wrestling or whatever the hell the thing is called. They're putting it over. I don't think they've ever seen it.
Mm-hmm.
It literally is an indie group that wrestles in a gym
mm-hmm.
with a bunch of nobodies.
Yeah.
Like terrible workers. It is terrible wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Like I crap on like CZW's like worst wrestling.
Yeah.
It's worse than that. It's not good. And this guy is not good. And the only reason why he signed is because they really want to get in the Chinese market.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, like first of all, he's from Hong Kong. I know. I got that last time too. Like, you know, he's from Hong Kong. I get it, okay. Dude. That's the only reason why he signed. They just needed to fill in bodies. They needed to fill in someone from that region. That's the only reason why they went to him. This guy is a terrible seller. His kicks are terrible. His facial reaction is terrible. His timing is off.
Mm. I think one of the big things with his facials is that like Chinese people, and this is not racist in any way, but like Chinese people in a lot of different Eastern countries have different facial reactions
to certain things.
Like, for example, like, and this is like pretty known, you know, like if somebody's smiling at you, like some typically, like if it's like, you know, Chinese or Japanese or whatever, if somebody's like smiling at you, it means they're really nervous, you know, and if they're making like their face is like, to, like their faces mean something different in their country.
Sure, I get that.
Than the
I
Western world.
But,
you know?
But you're trained to be a professional wrestler. Mm-hmm. You look at Nakamura and you look at Ibushi,
mm-hmm.
and these guys are selling.
Right.
They're wrestlers.
Nakamura sold the crap out of the Balor match.
Oh my God. Yeah, he did. Yeah. That was a great match. But you're taking a guy that is so green like Ho Ho Lun.
Mm-hmm.
And you're putting him in a ring with Daivari. Daivari's brother.
The new Daivari.
Which is a very good... I think he's going to get signed to something.
Yeah.
He's a very good worker.
It's very polished.
It's very polished, yeah. there's nothing that is good about Ho Ho Lun.
Uh-huh.
Nothing.
Nothing? You don't like the way he was pushing away invisible ghosts?
Why? Now, there's another guy, right? Mm-hmm. There's another Chinese wrestler.
Do you think they effed up and they did a Zach Gowen where they signed the wrong Chinese?
No, I think they got Shanghai'd,
mm-hmm.
for a lack of a better term.
All right. I see where you're going with this.
I think what happened was they were sold as this guy is like a big star in mm-hmm. the Hong Kong scene, and he's brought professional wrestling to the area, and he has one of the most successful wrestling feds.
Sure.
Listen, if you're in mm-hmm. a pond filled with shit and you're not shit, you're going to stand out.
Right.
And I think that's what the problem
is. But also, like, the argument there is that, like, they know what they're doing. They're not basing this on skill. They're basing this on out.
Absolute
on reach,
marketing. It's reach.
So for an entire place of, like, over a billion people to put eyes on the WWE product, that's a get right there.
Yeah. Okay.
And at that point, they're just like, yo, put him in the ring with somebody safe. Who cares? You know?
And Daivari carried him this entire
totally.
Match. I don't know what the results have been. I have mm-hmm. not read the Cruiserweight Classic results. I don't know how far mm-hmm. this dope goes in this.
you're like Morton Downey right now.
Yeah, I am. I just need a cigarette.
Yeah, you need to
need smoke.
Just keep blowing smoke at the monitor. Yeah. Like, let's see where this idiot goes from here.
Us and probably two other people got the Morton Downey Jr. reference.
I bet you Treehouse Vince got that.
Of course he did. He gets everything. They're terrible. There is this old guy that I'm really into from Middle Kingdom Wrestling, whatever, I think, MKW.
Yeah.
He's this old dude. What's his name? Deacon, if you're listening.
Where is Deacon?
I don't know where he is. He didn't show up today.
Deacon.
There's this old dude that wrestles for them, and mm-hmm. the guy's like 72 years old.
Uh-huh.
And the guy's awesome. He's really, really awesome. He's like this old French dude that no sells everything. He's like a strongman, mm-hmm. like an old French strongman gimmick. And there's another guy. I would say he's like 120 pounds soaking wet, and he looks like my other brother.
Yeah, yeah.
He looks like my brother Jesus.
You know. Yeah,
same body type too.
Your brother
probably the same wrestling ability.
Alec
as well.
Definitely is Armenian Jesus.
Like Armenian Jesus.
That
yeah.
dude is like
terribly
there, man.
Yeah.
You know what's kind of interesting too? Malone in the chat room brought this up. No, I'm sorry, not Malone. Adam Five. Where they actually, I was surprised that they worked everybody in the tournament heel or face.
Did they?
Yeah, you know, like for the most part.
Yeah,
like,
they did, yeah.
Like Lance Storm's dude worked heel. Daivari worked heel. Not during the main event. And I think Saez was supposed to be heel in the Grand Metalik match.
Was he?
Yeah.
Grand Metalik is great.
He's great. Yeah, great
Mascar
music,
Dorado is phenomenal.
He's going to take his mask off. It's going to be Rey Mysterio.
He is going to the whole time. He's young, too. He's a young dude. Well, so my takeaway from this is that Ibushi is remarkable, and Hoho Loon is everything that is wrong with professional wrestling.
You
hate
think
him.
So?
Hate him.
Yeah. That's the quote of the day. Let's see where this dum-dum goes.
Let's see where this dum-dum goes.
You don't want a shirt that says that you're a ho-ho lunatic?
I do not want to say that I'm a ho-ho lunatic.
You're going to end up loving this dude, I guarantee you. 1 year from now, you're going to be like, you know what, Rich? I started taking a shit on this guy, but I can't believe this guy's Intercontinental Champion right now. And it's amazing.
Yeah. Ho-ho Loon is Mandarin for the shits.
Ha!
That's what I'm going with. I modified your joke, Shin, in chat room. What else did we miss? Oh, did you watch the second part of the Final Deletion? That second video of Maxwell's birthday?
Yes. That, well...
Phenomenal.
Can we talk about the Final Deletion?
Yeah. We didn't talk about it, right?
All
right.
So, I don't know... Ho-Ho Club's good, too.
Ho-Ho Club.
I don't know how long this thing is, because I saw it on YouTube. Yeah. I saw, like, an 18-minute version that started with Maxwell's birthday.
Yeah, that's how it's... Yeah.
Okay, it starts with Maxwell's birthday. I think the broken Matt Hardy could possibly be one of the dumbest things I've ever seen.
Is it dumb good?
No.
Like dumb. Yeah.
Like, I get it. I mean, like, they're putting eyes on the product, which is awesome, and it's just, like, lunacy. I just feel like it's terrible, you know? And that's one of the things where, like, as much as I like the Hardy Boys, yeah, I feel like sometimes they just don't have a personality. And I think that was just him being like, let me just do this voice.
And it's not a consistent voice.
Yeah.
I think it's so bad, it's good.
I feel, you know what? That could be
like,
it too.
That's what it is. It's so bad, it's good. It's like The Room.
Okay.
You know, that's how Justin actually described it, which I think is right. It's so bad, it's terrible, that it's really good.
Mm-hmm.
But they're aware. They know it's bad.
Yes.
Like, I think Matt and Jeff know how terrible this is. And they're just going with it.
Because there's a few parts of that where I was like, what the F am I watching?
What a beautiful xylophone.
With the drone with the Matt Hardy hologram.
Vanguard 1.
Which I'm like, yo, somebody definitely learned how to use After Effects for this shit.
Yeah.
Which is, it was funny. It was funny in that respect where you're like, yo, this is terrible. This is so freaking terrible. And they know it's terrible. But the outcome of that, before we continue with the Final Deletion, was... right after the Final Deletion, you had the weirdo Wyatt brawl, which was, it was filmed very well.
Okay,
it was
so
good.
Somebody wrote it.
I like Senior Benjamin.
Yeah, I like Senior Benjamin. I actually popped when some guy goes, this is coming really close to a hate crime.
Okay.
You know, like the whole Wyatt and the New Day thing.
It got a little
hate crime. Yeah. It got a little backwoods, you know, come here, boy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It got a little rapey. So they filmed this thing, and it looked like it was shot with like old time effect, the Instagram old time effect, which I get what they were doing.
Yeah,
I get it. It was shot cinematically, very nice.
Yeah.
And at the end, like, they beat the crap out of each other, and they just stood there.
Yeah.
And it was over, and then it went away.
Well, because I think like the emphasis on that was you don't know how big the Wyatt family is. Technically.
Why?
Because the end of the match was everybody showing up in with sheet masks and the fireflies. You know, so like, I think that was the message where like and it's a good way to call people up too, you know, if you think about that, where like you don't know who exactly is in the family, and Bray Wyatt is a cult leader, you know, and this was a warning to the New Day to stop effing around, and then they ran away. It also looked like it was a lot of fun. The shooting of it, and then like actually working it, and like,
so where do the Wyatts live?
Live in the swamps.
Where? In Florida.
Florida. I'll say
Pinellas County.
They live
the Florida Panhandle. Yeah, that's where they live.
They live either in the Everglades or they live in
the bayou.
Yeah, or in like Louisiana somewhere, you know.
I want them to be from Florida.
Okay.
Justin, thank you for that joke. But they do look like they're from Florida. They're from like a weird swamp section of Florida.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they filmed. Do you remember? I think it was for the last WWE game or two before that, where they actually filmed Bray Wyatt on like a big fan boat.
Yeah,
which was really cool. And I don't know if you guys could find like look this up, but they did like this awesome thing. It was like Cesaro, John Cena, and I think Bray Wyatt, where they did like mini vignettes promoting. I think it was a game. And it's like Bray Wyatt, like going to work, basically, like on the fan boat, just like wiping sweat from his brow.
And then he just goes into a ring.
And then he just like it's like on the water, you know.
Yeah.
So it's like they're giving like the character more depth.
By the way, the whole video was shot in Flushing.
Yep.
that whole scene was just shot
Flushing Meadow Park. Yeah. Casino Park. Actually.
I thought. It was fine. It was good. I just don't know what they're gonna do with this. They're gonna do a 3-way match. Three on three?
Probably.
And with Luke Harper returning?
The return of Luke Harper.
Or maybe another Wyatt.
Mm-hmm.
Now, are the Wyatts heels or faces?
I think they're heels in this.
You sure?
Yeah.
I don't know what
See, the thing with them is, like, they cross, specifically Bray crosses over into cool heel territory.
He does.
People will cheer him. You know? And I think...
No matter how many times he loses, his personality outshines everything else that happens.
He's awesome.
Amazing.
I liked it better than the final deletion.
You did not like the final deletion?
I don't know how I feel about it. It was weird. But like it was confusing. To me as a fan, it was very confusing because I'm like, am I supposed to shit on this? Am I supposed to like this? Am I supposed to think this is so bad that it's good? Or is this just garbage? You know? Like I'm very confused by the final deletion. The match itself... It's a little ridiculous with the trees in the ring and then like that weird swanton at the end off the big tree.
Yeah, big swanton off there and then you got a fire and
the Jeff Hardy symbol and then what's her name handing Matt Hardy like the lighter to light up the thing.
You know what was the best part was when Jeff is chasing Vanguard 1, right?
Oh yeah, on the dirt bike.
and then the whole point was for Matt to ruin his lawn.
Right.
He started ruining his lawn.
Yeah.
Which I thought was so good.
Which was also like a digital effect, too. Like, because he didn't really ruin the lawn. They just drew a streak behind the writing board.
Is that
board.
What they did?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Like I said, somebody definitely was using their After Effects skills.
What do you think they do all day? What do you think Jeff Hardy does all day?
I don't know, man.
Something.
A little bit of this.
I don't know. Something weird stuff's going on there.
I have no idea. Like, it also seemed like... I thought also leading into this that Jeff was going to be Willow the whole time and not like just regular Jeff Hardy.
I was going to show up as Willow and just two lunatics yelling at each other. I do think Willow's going to appear.
Mm-hmm.
I think Jeff is dead. Like the whole Jeff Hardy thing is over, but mm-hmm. Willow's going to come and Willow's eventually going to beat Matt.
Okay.
Because Willow's crazier than Matt.
I also think
with the umbrella.
I also think it should have been Matt burying Jeff. Underneath that, the
rubble,
yeah, which would have been cool.
That would have been good.
Like, yeah. It was weird.
And then Ho Ho Loom could have shown up,
mm-hmm. pushing people away. How did you feel about the final deletion?
I watched it and I thought it was mm-hmm. exactly what it should have been.
Mm-hmm.
I do like the Matt Hardy thing.
Yeah, broken yeah. Matt Hardy.
I like broken Matt Hardy because it's so ridiculous.
I want more Senior Benjamin though.
I do want more Senior Benjamin. Yeah. That's his father-in-law.
Is it?
Yeah, that's Rebby's.
That's amazing.
And they're from Flushing, by the way. Rebby Sky went to Flushing High School here in Queens. G1 is starting on Monday.
Yep.
Are you excited? I'm very excited for the G1.
I'm always excited.
Yeah. Do you want to go down the card for G1?
Yeah, let me punch it up, baby.
Yeah. So, here are the participants.
G1 Climax.
A-Block. Togi Makabe.
Irish.
Kojima. He's Irish, yeah. Mac. Mm-hmm. A B. Kojima, Ishii, Goto, Fale, Marufuji, Tamatanga, mm-hmm. Sanada, Okada, and Tanahashi in Block A. Block B is Shibata, Nagata, Hanma, Elgin, Yano, Evil, Naito.
I think this is...
Omega, Nakajima, and Yoshihashi.
I think this is Hanma's year.
This is Hanma's year. So the matches. Here is the first match. Tanahashi versus Sanada. Very excited to see this.
Yes.
Okada versus Marufuji.
Awesome.
This is for 7:18. I'm very excited for that. 7:22 is Nagata versus Naito. Shibata versus Hanma.
Yep.
7:23, Tanahashi versus Makabe.
And Okada.
Okada versus Sonata.
That's going to be fun.
That's 7:23. 7:24, Shibata Nakajima. Sorry, I'm having problems.
You're bad at this today.
Yeah, I am. I'm normally really good. Shibata versus Nakajima. Hanma versus Yoshihashi. 7:25. Makabe versus Sonata. Okada versus Goto.
I think that's going to be a show stealer.
What?
Okada Goto.
Yeah. Yana versus Naito. 7:27. Mm-hmm. Shibata versus Elgin. Going to be a great
that's
match.
That's going to be good.
7:28, Ishii versus Marufuji should be a really good match. Goto versus Sonata. 7:30, here we go. Elgin versus Omega.
That's going to be good.
I'm surprised they're going up first.
That's their unofficial rematch, right?
That would be their unofficial rematch, yeah. And then you got Shibata Naito. 7:31.
This is a long tournament.
Yeah, 7:31, Makabe versus Marufuji. Tanahashi versus Goto. 8:1, Yoshihashi versus Nakajima. Hanma versus Naito, 8:3. Tanahashi versus Ishii. Makabe versus Okada, 8:4. This is going
to
go on. I can't do this. So
it's
a lot of, it's so much wrestling. It's like every day for like a month.
It's a month. It ends on August 24th, which is friggin' crazy. And also the interesting thing about this is that like you're very shorthanded on the Gaijin this year.
Yeah, not too many Gaijins.
You know?
Well, two.
Yeah.
Well, you know, think about the loss New Japan has had. And, you know, I was talking to somebody about this on how this has been a terrible year for Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
Right? 2015 was probably their breakout year where they had AJ Styles, the Bullet Club.
Yeah.
All these guys. I mean, just great storylines and great angles. Mm-hmm. And people were involved in the Young Bucks feuding with Kingdom and then feuding with our boys, Kazarian and Daniels. Addiction.
Yeah.
So there was so much happening, right? And then 2016, they just, I don't know if Hunter is burnt out with the booking.
Yeah.
I definitely can imagine that it would be very difficult when you lose a guy like AJ Styles that was like a showpiece.
Right.
And you lose part of the Bullet Club,
right?
And you lose Roderick Strong, and you lose, not really lose, but you, Mike Elgin is gone.
Cedric Alexander.
I mean, they lost out on a lot of guys. Mm-hmm. Now they're relying heavily
on Moose
is gone. Ah, yeah. Fuck.
What?
Ugh, I don't care for him anymore. Why? Went to TNA
because he signed with TNA.
Yeah. So you look at Ring of Honor and 2016 was looking extremely promising, and now what they've done is they've relied so heavily on the New Japan guys, which, by the way, they're selling out. They're still selling, but there's really no storylines.
Yeah.
They're realizing that this is a way to draw people in, because where else are you going to see guys like Okada and the rest of, you know, these guys show up?
In the States.
In the States. By the way, New Japan is looking to do shows in the States. They're looking to do a show in New York, Chicago, Philly. I would love.
Talk about a smart crowd. That's going to be a smart crowd.
Yeah, I would love a show at like the Nassau Coliseum.
Okay.
20,000 people.
Not going to happen. They're going to do it. If New Japan had a show
Terminal
here,
5.
Yep. Terminal 5. You're getting, Terminal 5. You're getting Hammerstein.
Hammerstein Ballroom. Yeah.
It would be great if they did it at Citi Field.
Just do it in the middle of Citi Field.
Yep, that would be fantastic.
I would love that. There was wrestling at Citi Field, and they filled up like 20,000 people in there. For wrestling at Citi Field last summer.
Yeah.
Which was crazy.
What was that? That was like
Goldberg and RVD and Scott Steiner.
Yeah, that was like when they annually do the big event.
Yeah, are they doing it this year?
I don't know, man.
I don't think so. So Ring of Honor is really having some problems with that. Mm-hmm. But in place of Ring of Honor, I'm telling you, Evolve has really picked up.
Yeah.
Evolve is probably the best East Coast. I mean, it's PWG on the East Coast, essentially.
Yeah.
Great wrestling. Storylines, their guys are working, and then they bring in outside guys.
Yep.
Very, very good stuff. So I'm very concerned about Ring of Honor. Mm-hmm. I do think there's going to be a bigger plan for them, but they really haven't built anybody over the last couple months.
Yeah.
I do have a problem with that they're really relying heavily on these New Japan guys.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough because this is like, unfortunately for Ring of Honor, it's like, it's still good, it's solid, but I think they're taking like a weird hit, especially with all this stuff that's going on in the landscape of wrestling.
Yeah,
you know, where like Evolve's really come into its own in the last year, and you have like very, like you said, very reputable guys there who are world class athletes. You know, like Drew Galloway and EC3, you know, like these are like big dudes and good names. And then, you know, in NJPW, it's its own entity at this point. I also think that NJPW is also kind of shying away from signing any more new guy jeans.
Yeah, because you know why? Loyalty.
Well, yeah, because they also...
They know they're going to go.
They also know that we're putting eyes on these new guys, and they're making them hot commodities, you know?
Yeah.
Like, if you had the option to go to Ring of Honor or New Japan, where would you go if you're a professional wrestler?
If I'm a professional wrestler and I have a choice to go to either one, and the money's the same,
yeah,
I'm going to Ring of Honor.
Really?
Yeah, because I want to be close to my family.
Right.
But if I want to make a name for myself... Right. And I want to grow as a wrestler, and I want to grow my ability and showcase. I'm going to New Japan because all the marks online are going to say, oh, my God, this guy's phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Look at a guy like Kenny Omega.
Yep.
AJ Styles, it changed his entire career. And when I say that, I don't mean it in a negative way. AJ Styles was unbelievable from day one. But in TNA, because of the brand he was associated with, he was worthless to WWE. He goes to Japan for 2 years. And this
is on top.
The hottest commodity in professional wrestling at 38 years old.
Mm-hmm. And he's still on top right now.
And he's
now.
Still working like he never changed the thing. He's still working the same way.
There was something floating around about how the initial plan for AJ to be brought in was to be a mid-carder.
I heard that. You know, I've heard conflicting stories, and Dave kind of took it back. Dave alluded to that at one point.
Yeah.
But then he kind of took it back.
But because of his reaction at the Rumble, they were like, we got to do something with this guy.
I mean, how do you not?
Yeah.
How do you not do something with him?
And it also set up, like, I think the Rumble also beautifully set up that the whole thing, him and Roman.
The Rumble changed a lot, huh? Mm-hmm. Like, imagine if that pop wasn't anything for AJ Styles, right?
Yeah.
I guarantee he would have feuded with Jericho. Mm-hmm. And then after that, he probably would have been in that Miz category for a little bit.
Right. Which
you know,
is also kind of
but
weird, too.
Listen, it's AJ. The guy is so good.
Mm-hmm.
The guy is just... It doesn't even come phenomenal. Down to... You know, you look at a guy like Shelton Benjamin, okay? Yeah. Shelton Benjamin is a great worker.
Yeah.
Very good worker. Up to the level of, like, an AJ Styles, right? Like, you look at a guy like Shawn Michaels.
Yeah.
Shawn Michaels and Shelton Benjamin have one of the best matches I've ever seen on Raw.
Right.
Shelton Benjamin, as a pure athlete, is... going toe-to-toe with all these guys.
Right.
Why? Shelton Benjamin doesn't cut a great promo. That's fine. AJ Styles, up until now, nobody knew he could cut a promo. Now he's phenomenal.
Yeah.
No pun intended. Why? I like Shelton Benjamin is not at the level of AJ Styles. Mm-hmm. It really comes down to the it.
Right.
It's that this much.
Yeah.
This much more. You just need this much more to be that big star.
Right.
That's what it comes down to. Mm-hmm. The second you see AJ Styles, he walked in that WWE ring, and you're like, this guy's a star.
Yeah.
I've never seen him before. He's unbelievable.
I think
Nakamura
is a good example, but I also think Gallows and Anderson are great examples.
Gallows and Anderson, great examples. They're somebodies.
Right.
They walk down. They're confident. You look at them, you're like, oh, and forget about that bullshit Festus stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's stupid. But you look at him. He was in the WWE.
Yeah.
It was Luke Gallows last time he was there. And it meant nothing.
These guys could work.
He goes to Japan. He works the indies. He does a little road stuff. He comes back. And now this guy is a locker room leader. He's the morale is up around him. They love him in the back.
Yep.
Him and Anderson are, think about it, though. Anderson, he is a veteran of pro wrestling. He's 30-something years old, just going to the WWE. Luke Gallows, he was nobody. Now he's a main event player. Mm-hmm. He's in a main event storyline.
With John Cena. Which is freaking fantastic. And it also elevates, like, this. I find this whole stuff fascinating because, like, that feud is elevating a single person. It's not hurting anybody.
Yeah.
And the most interesting part about that is they finally found the formula to get the John Cena pop that's been missing for years. When Cena made the save on Monday, it blew the roof off of that arena, which is very fascinating because always... Let's go Cena. Cena sucks. Let's go Cena. On Monday, when he came out to save Enzo and Cassman, like, that place friggin' erupted.
Well, let me just say this before we start winding down the show. John Cena was... The plan was to have John Cena as the face of SmackDown and Roman Reigns be the face of Raw. And now... Because Cena will not be working a lot of house shows.
Right.
He's kind of going to do the Hogan deal where he works the weekends and that's it.
What are you going to do, brother? You got to make your money, brother.
So I don't know what the how that's changing. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Cena is still going to be a megastar on TV.
Yeah.
But shows are a lot of money for them.
Yeah.
And if John Cena is on the brand and is not, and is the top guy and is not mm-hmm. at these house shows, it's going to be really bad.
See, that's a very interesting point you make up, because like I was saying, with that feud between, you know, Cena, Enzo and Cass, and the Bullet Club,
yeah,
or the club, that's supposed to come to a head after the brand split. It's going to come to head at Battleground. Now, if they brand split these guys, how are they going to do it? And does it still? It doesn't give the feud that much merit if it's like, yo, we beat you guys up. We're on different shows now, so it doesn't anything.
Yeah.
The other thing too is I honestly think they're going to keep wherever Cena ends up. They're going to keep Enzo and Cass, because they're getting groomed. More so Cass. But Enzo's getting, the dude's unstoppable on the microphone, and his in-ring skills are getting way better.
You know, the only thing I'm worried about them is what? Enzo and Cass. These guys are getting over.
Yeah.
Big time, they're getting over. They are, I do find their act really interesting, and it's similar to like the New Age Outlaws act.
Right, yeah.
Right? Like, I get it. It's cool. I totally get it.
Yeah.
The only thing I'm afraid of is every time Enzo is standing in the middle, Cass is standing in the middle, and then Enzo's running around, mm-hmm. I'm imagining like a big boot that's going to come. From terrified Cass? That they're going to split them up too early.
Okay.
That is the only fear that I have. I don't think they should split them up.
No.
I think they need to keep them together and have Enzo as his manager that mm-hmm. does some stuff on the side, and have Big Cass as the superstar.
I could also see Enzo and Cass.
I don't even know if it's possible.
Within the next few months, man. I think so. I think they'd be an awesome heel team, dude.
Oh, I just got an update, guys. Michael just told me, one of our friends and a fellow pro wrestling fan, Michael just told me.
Not that Michael.
Change Saturday's start time to 4 p.m.
Oh, wow.
To not compete with the MSG show.
Okay.
So it's an hour, it's a half hour later. I think it was 4:30, it was 3:30, and now it's at 4. So people that are going to the Evolve show, it's at 4 p.m. now. Thank you for that update.
Thank you.
Very valuable. Time to wrap it up?
Let's wrap it up, bye.
Let's up, guys. Guys, please subscribe to the podcast. Subscribe on everything. We need more people to subscribe. We're everywhere podcasts are available. GFTnetwork.com. Go subscribe there. Go listen to the show. We are on YouTube. Watch it on YouTube. Twitter at Matt Men Podcast, at Andrew Zarin for me. Today's his birthday, and we are going to go out for his birthday now.
Yeah.
We're going to go have cake. We're going to have cupcakes, and we're going to have chocolate milk.
How about
and
just,
get a big tummy ache.
How about just a couple of beers?
A lot of beers.
Couple of Steve Weisers.
Couple of BLLs. Mm. At Lambs. All right, guys. That's it for this week. I love you all. See you all later.
Later.